So you'll get a few points if you can figure out what the rope is for. Is anyone kind of thinking maybe a three-stranded cord? Tug of war? It's none of those. Hey? Nailed it. 2 points. Pretty much. So I've just been on the weirdest wave over the last year, and I got saved just after my 22nd birthday, and I was into all kinds of stuff. And it's been this really weird journey of God took me out of the world, then he took the world out of me, and in the last year, he's just shoved me back in the world. So a year ago, I moved to Rolleston, and in my like career, at the moment, I've probably been on the most money I've had so far, but for some reason, I have the least. You know, is it just me? Like, and so I moved to Rolleston. It was a little bit more expensive, and it's been really difficult for me. You know, I was studying and living on like nothing, going overseas 3 times a year. Making it to, no matter where I lived, in Christchurch or out of town, I was always able to get to worship meetings and youth group and church and like everything. Darfield, like both services, even if I didn't live in any of the towns, I was getting to both of them. And now all of a sudden I'm living in Rolleston and I'm on okay money. Well, you probably all know that out of all the teachers, out of all the degree professions, early childhood would be the least paid. And kindergarten's got a pay rise, but we didn't. well, I kind of did because I got a promotion, but anyway. and all of a sudden, I can't get to stuff. You know, like, I can't get to home group, and I can't get to music meetings, and I can't get to most of the leader meetings, and I can't get to all of this stuff, and it's breaking my heart. And God's saying to me, but actually now I want you in the world. You know, I want you in the world. I want you around your non-Christian friends. I want you being me for them. You know, like all of a sudden I've got a really good friend who's Muslim and I'm in their will and I'm godparent of their children. And I don't know how that's working, but somehow God is. And so I've got this rope. So we all know that the tree of life brought death. So then we carry on to this end. So we know that the tree of death brought life. So the rope, so if you can't see it, it's quite big. It's quite strong. My new favourite word is booty. It's quite booty. It's quite thick. So I've got this rope in today because this rope, just get back down. Sorry. This rope is like our life, right? So we start at some point and we end at some point. We don't know when that is. We could end when we get taken or we could end in a different way. But this represents the journey that we're walking on. So I'd probably say I started somewhere here. I wasn't rock bottom, but I started somewhere here. You know, I didn't drive drunk, but I rode my bike high. Like, you know, we all start somewhere, right? And so we're on this journey, and God just showed me when, before I was even asked to preach, he showed me this picture of a rope, and he showed me with all of us on this rope, wherever we are at on our journey. And the thing is, it's in the moment, it's in the every single moment, it's in, you know, if something isn't pushing me this way, it's actually sending me that way. And the enemy gets us 2-1, because if we're not going this way, we're either stopped and back. And stopping is just as bad as going back. You know, we don't want to be lukewarm, we want to be hot. And what God was just showing me was wherever we're at, wherever where we are at, sorry, there's all those outside influences. There's everything coming at you. There's situations coming at you. There's people coming at you. There's voices coming at you. There's all this stuff coming at you. You can be walking this way, but looking back. Or you can be walking this way, looking forward. Or you can be looking here, but accidentally going back. You know, and the phrase he gave me was, what voice are you listening to? And you can, if you need a title, you could make that your title. And you could be grammatically clever, and you could turn that to either an exclamation mark at the end or a question mark at the end. Feel free to take that wherever you need to take it. But for me, at the moment, I work with a Jezebel. So I'm hearing a lot of stuff. I'm hearing a lot of voices. And sometimes those voices are getting to me. Sometimes those voices aren't getting to me. There's been times recently where I have been walking forward but looking back. There's been times where I have been walking forward and looking forward. And there's been other times where I've kind of stopped and I've been like, just not too sure about this. And so the voice that got the verse that God gave me was Numbers 13. And from about 27. So it's where the 12 went out and they scouted the land. And this was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore. This is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. Does anyone remember? Grapes so large that it took two people to carry them. Imagine a bunch of grapes so large that it took Seth and Jack to carry them. And I don't imagine they would have found it easy. I lifted up a boy at work, he probably would have been about 50 kgs. It was pretty difficult. So these grapes, they must have been somewhere around 100 kgs, maybe more. Probably more. But they would have been struggling, you know. They wouldn't have been like, oh yeah, this is so easy, it's just a little spindly bunch of grapes. They would have been actually struggling. You would have seen it on their faces. And here they are coming to Moses and they're saying, this is what we found. But don't go there. Jumping ahead. But the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. A few other people live there as well. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So we spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there. And all the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a thought about yourself and put it on someone else? Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Well, they did. The thing that stuck in my head in this verse is the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. They cried in protest against their leader, and all their leader had done was heard from God. You know, and I got really thinking in my heart, and there's this question that God asked me that I'd like to ask you is, what is your promised land? What is it for you that you believe in God for? I can tell you mine. Since I got saved, before I got saved, I didn't care about anything. Nothing, not even my family. And it's hard to say it now because it's not who I am anymore. But I just didn't care. I just wanted to do my job, go home, not see anyone, nothing. And the day I got saved, God gave me a dream that I'm going to be a mother and I'm going to have children. that's my promised land. Maybe that's my, for some reason, I don't have that. And I don't know what the reason is. Maybe there is a giant here that I still need God to face in battle for me. Because the people didn't defeat those giants. It was God. The people were just in the right position. Well, maybe I'm not in the right position. Maybe I just need to shift that position somehow. But what's your promised land? You know, what are you believing God for? Because for all of us it's different, but the result is the same. The result is taking us further along this journey to God. It's getting us closer and closer to Him. And I know becoming a Christian, we haven't like made it and arrived and it's like, yeah, got my ticket to heaven. But at some point in this journey, in the twinkle of an eye, we're going to be transformed to like Jesus. Is that's our goal, that's our journey, and we need to just keep on walking and keep on moving. Last night I was at a party. The sober driver was high, and she got high because she was the sober driver. So needless to say, I was the sober driver. And someone said to me, you know what you need to do? Because no one can get over, they're like, how does someone get to your age and you're still single? And she said to me, I know what you should do. Just have a little bit of fun. You know, how about you just stop being a Christian for a couple months and then get yourself pregnant and then boom, you can marry the guy, become a Christian again, happily ever after, sorted, you'll be nailed. Like, that's your journey, that's your plan, you know. I'm like, okay, sign me up. No, I'm just kidding. But all of a sudden, like, because she's in an interesting place too, and I was able to turn around and say, but you can see how that's not right though, can't you? Would I really want to marry someone just because he got me pregnant? Or just where are our morals, where are our values? Because if I walk away from this, what are my morals, what are my values? And we had this awesome conversation of like, you know what, I've been through too much to ever walk away, and I don't know what, where my journey's heading in the future, but I know this. I know where it's been, and I don't want to go back there. And I've made this mistake before, and I pray that I never make it again, and that is we need to turn our focus away, because that conversation didn't leave me feeling sad at all. That conversation left me feeling the most spiritually charged I've felt in a few weeks, because you know what? Why should I be thinking about the one thing I don't have instead of the 100 things that I do have? I'm a mother to 100 children, you know, and I'm with them every day and I'm their mother for them. You know, for some reason, you know, their parents do have to work and their parents do have to live with them with me, but I get to be that light. I get to be that encouragement. I get to be that joy. And I just want to, like, I just feel God really stirring in my heart to tell you, like, you don't have to come to me afterwards and say, oh, it's so sad you're still single or whatever. I'm just using that as an example because God's in there so much that I honestly, I don't care because there's so much that I have. I have a goddaughter who takes one look at me and bursts into laughter. And I'm like, I think it's the funniest thing in the world is like someone looks at me and just bursts into laughter. But she's like, you're my person. I know you're not mum and I know you're not dad, but you're one of my people. You're one of my people who I love. And maybe if I had kids, I wouldn't have that with her. And it's like, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm focusing on, I'm just trying to keep that focus on God because that's where Eve got tripped up. She took her eyes away from everything she had and she looked at that one thing that she didn't have, that one thing that God said, I've given you the world, but you can't have this right now, you know, and that's just what's stirring in my heart and stirring in my mind. And I want to read you a verse from Psalm 73. Pauline's probably found it before I have. What did I say? Psalm 73:26. Oh, that was a different one. So I knew what I, like, when Wayne asked me to preach, I'm like, yeah, God's already stirring something in my heart. And he gave me the Numbers 13 straight away. And then every time I sat down to prepare, he's like, you don't need to prepare. I've already told you. So I gave Pauline one that I'm definitely going to say, and then some other things that I may or may not. But Psalm 73:26, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. He is ours forever. He is yours forever. Like, forever is such a long time. And when we're here on this journey, it can feel like such a long time. But actually, it's really fast. It's incredibly fast. And our goal, our role, is to somehow walk through all of these things and stay focused on God, stay focused on the Holy Spirit, and to not rush through, I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done, and all of a sudden we miss an opportunity that God has for us. In my job recently, I went up against someone who has been a head teacher at IC, and I went up against someone else who's been a qualified teacher for 5 years, and all three of us applied for a head teacher role. And God gave it to me. He gave it to someone who, actually, on paper, the role should not be mine. On paper, the role should be someone else's. But all of a sudden, I can walk into that room now, and people know the leader is here, and all of a sudden the voices stop, the negativity stops, everything stops, because actually at the end of the day, this is where God is in my journey, this is what he has me going through, and somehow I've come along this journey where I've had business failure, and I've had this, and I've had that, and I've had everything else, but as we walk through our journey, the purpose is to just get that heart of God in our spirit, in our heart, and to somehow like keep on walking and keep on fighting that fight. And I know that God has some of us in some fights at the moment and in some battles and in some things that are really difficult. And you know, God has that answer. He has that victory for you. You know, like I look back to the Israelites when they were in that moment, there were 10 people over here saying it's too hard for us, don't do it, it's too hard. And there are 2 people over here saying let's go, let's do this. God is going to give us the victory. And sometimes we can look at that battle and think it's too hard for us, and the reality is it is. But when it's God, when it's God's battle and God's moment and God's victory, and I love reading through all the battles and every time they won and every time they took the land, you know, the story of where they had all those men and God stripped them out and stripped them away, and all of a sudden they're winning this battle with hardly any people. And it's like, I don't know, I heard them practicing a song this morning that they didn't sing, but this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And I just really feel like we need to go into that song and we need to sing that song and we need to declare that this is how we fight our battles. This is how God fights our battles for us. And I have one more verse I'd like to just touch on briefly, and it's 1 Kings 19. And it's from verse 11. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord said to him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, and it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I love that because he's in the still small voice. And sometimes those 10 are so loud, And they get us into this state where we're just not too sure. You know, any counsellor will say, you've got to talk about your problem, and it becomes smaller. And these guys have taken it to the other extreme, and they're like, just that voice of like, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work. Have you ever tried to do something or had an idea and someone's been like, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, it's going to cost too much money, too much time, you're already really busy, there's no way that this can happen. And it's over and over and over, and it's constant, and it's constant, and they buy in other people, and before you know it, the whole town is crying all night. And I look through the meaning of all those words, the whole community began weeping out loud. And they cried all night. And in all the meanings, it's like it's over and over and over and over and on and on and on and on and on and constant, but the still small voice. The still small voice is like sometimes we've heard something for so long that even when we're not around it, we can still hear it. You know, when your ears have been ringing or pinging, but the still small voice, like, needs to be our focus, needs to be my focus, needs to be all of our focus, so that's where our journey is, that's where our line is going, that's where we're walking on that line and listening to that still small voice in our heart and in our spirit. And I kind of want to leave it there. I know it's really short. It's probably more of just, I don't know, power, but that's just what I feel God telling me is, how are we fighting our battles? Where is our fight? Do we need to fight? Do we need to just put everything down and say, enough? Like, put that line in the sand and say, this is what God has for me, and I'm not going to listen anymore. I'm not going to listen to those lies. I'm not going to listen to all of those people or all of those things or all of those spirits that are talking to me about what it is or what it isn't, or what I should do or what I shouldn't do, or all of that sort of thing. Is like, where is that still small voice in that moment and in that time? So if you want to stand, and maybe we can go into that song, This Is How I Fight My Battles. And I was driving here and I had this other thought too, is that by those 10, by those negative voices, just shake it off. And actually shake. You know how when you're getting that really heavy jacket off that it's just heavy, but I really felt like it's cold, and then you come into the warm and you shake it off. And I really felt like God saying there's someone, or there's maybe people here that need to shake that off. You need to shake off those voices, those expectations, and just be you. You need to shake it off and just be you. Because you are how he made you. You are everything he made. And if you needed more, he would have given you more. But he gave you everything that you need. And you just need to shake those people off. Shake them out. Get rid of them. Say, you're not good enough for me, because I've got my still small voice in here and I know what he's telling me. And I know he's telling me I am enough. That I am the right person. That I am right. That I am complete and whole in him. Lord, I just thank you for this time where we can come together and we can just set our focus on you, shift our eyes, shift those ears of our heart onto you and onto your words and onto everything that you have for us and everything you say for us and all the ways that you love us. And Lord, I just pray as we go into this song that you would just really help us to surrender to you and let you in and just give it all to you. That, Lord, you're going to fight that battle for us, that you're going to bring a victory for us. You're going to bring us our promised land. That thing that we've been waiting for, that thing, that gift that is from you, that is right there. Lord, I just pray that you would bring that for us and help us to just fix our eyes on you and let you into that battle. In your name I pray, amen.